T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After this season, the Penguins weren't going to retain Riley Sheahan. The Derek Brassard experiment was not working. And you can say what you want about moving fourth-round picks, but, I mean, geez, talk about uncertainty. Maybe there's some, you know, certainty with a second-round pick, but I have no qualms with giving that up. I like the trade a lot.
Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. It's the PM team, Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller. Penguins and Senators tonight. Penguins and Maple Leafs tomorrow night in Toronto. It's time for the debut of Bob's Breakdown, which is brought to you by the Bottle Shop Cafe in Collier Township. We're going to talk to Penguins analyst Bob Airy at 3 o'clock every Friday. And Bob, what a day to start this with a huge trade, and the Penguins get back a guy in the deal who you're familiar with because you played with his uncle in Pittsburgh.
Great to be on with you guys. We picked a good day for to start this off, but yes, played with his uncle, Scott Bukestad, back in 88-89. I remember he had blonde hair. He scored over 40 goals in Minnesota, but he was never able to make it with us. They thought maybe he could bring some scoring. He's a right-handed shot, unable to do it. Let's hope Nick's able to score some goals for the Pens.
Why did it not work here, in your opinion, Bibbs? And by the way, hello, where are my manners? Why did it not work with Derek Brassard here? Because that is one of the Rutherford's made some really good moves. That one looms as probably the biggest dud of the bunch, and I think even he would admit that.
Well, you know, it's funny. We traded Oleksiak. He made a deal for Oleksiak. We get rid of him. We made a deal for Sheahan. We've got rid of him now and Brassard. So, you know, not all the deals are going to work. I think he was injured last year, guys. You never saw him at his best. I think probably the best you saw Derek Brassard is when they put him on Crosby's line in Calgary this year. He had a three-point night. He was interested. That caught his attention. And I just think for some reason or not, for one reason or another, that Derek Brassard, he needed something to pique his interest. And playing on that third line did not pique his interest whatsoever. I think they've determined that. I think he's a much better hockey player than he showed, but he just didn't want to play on the Penguins' third line.
Do you think he liked playing with Kessel?
I don't think he did. I don't think either of them liked playing with one another. I could see the body language out there. It wasn't going to work. They didn't seem to communicate. They didn't seem to have the type of respect that you have to have for players. I don't know whose fault that may have been, but I just didn't see the camaraderie between those two players. I'm not saying you have to be best friends. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to like a guy. But when you're on the ice, you better have some sort of chemistry, and you better go out there and play for one another. I didn't see that.
How common is it for guys that are pretty high-profile players in each guy's case in this one to not get along? Like, is there any, you know, known pairing throughout the league, line mates? Doesn't even have to be guys you played with who did not get along but made beautiful music when they were on the ice together.
Well, yeah, I know. That's a great question. I mean, I think you've probably seen it in a lot of sports where you have this guy and that guy, but when they go on the field, they're able to perform a beautiful music together, if you will, but they don't get along off the ice. Nothing that jumps out at me right here offhand, but I'm sure something will come off after I get off the phone. I'll think of something.
I was going to say Colony and Dunlap, but that's all right.
Everybody gets along with Jim Colony.
Everyone gets along with Colin. Okay, so give us a Nick Bukestad scouting report. What do you know about the player, Bob?
I know I liked him a couple of years ago. You know, I think he had some issues, some migraines. You know, I don't know if it was a neck issue they ultimately determined or not, but he's a big guy. He's got the long reach. You know, he looks fluid out on the ice. He's got great movements. You can see that he's a high-pedigree guy, being a first-round draft pick in his year, 19th overall in 2010. You know, any guy that can score 20 goals in the league, and that's what he did in 2014 and almost had that last year, is a good hockey player. You think about it, he's got to play behind Trocheck and Barkov. if he's going to play center in Florida. So he's kind of down the pecking order. That's maybe where Broussard's going to be when he goes over there. So sometimes you got to play wing, and that's what he's had to do. He's had to play between the right wing and between center as a young player, and play with in and out of the lineup, and play with some injuries of his own, as Nick Buch said, had. So he's missed a few games as well this year. You just hope he's able to get on track. But that long reach and the skill that you see that he possesses, you know, he's every bit as tall as Mario Lemieux. He's got the right-handed shot like Mario was. He's not Mario Lemieux, but he's a good hockey player.
Bibbs, I look at Jared McCann in this deal, who's supposed to be sort of the depth guy, and yet he's had a better season points-wise than Bukestad. Do you have any kind of a read on him? Pretty young guy, obviously. He's only 22 years old, but the production jumps out, even though he seems like the throw-in. The Dupuis to, I'm not saying this is a Dupuis-Hossa-level deal, but the Dupuis to Marian Hossa here.
Yeah, you know what I like about McCann, you know, he goes to the Canucks. I got a bunch of young guys there. He's unable to break in. He's kind of up and down in the minor leagues, and you know, it tested him. It toughened him up a little bit. You know, I've been there. He started out, he was, you know, in the NHL, then you got to go down in the minors a little bit and play and find your game and decide that, hey, I'm not going to be a 50 goal scorer in the NHL, but if I can go out there and play with a little bit of grit, some moxie, do some other things, get under somebody's skin or kill some penalties, do all that stuff that players that are typically drafted in the first round aren't expected to do, and that is block shots and those kind of things. So he's quickly determined that he has to be an all-around two-way hockey player to make it work. I think he's going to fit beautifully here in Pittsburgh, and you know, that's the kind of guy they're looking for. Right away, he's going to be out there killing penalties. I'm sure he'll get some good playing time. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to fall out tonight, because you know, with all the left and right-handed shots and what goes on here in Pittsburgh. But these guys are both versatile. They could play the wing or they can play the center. McCann would be a left-winger center, or Bukestad would be a center or right wing. And versatility certainly helps, and it gives Mike Sullivan more options here.
Bob Airey, Bob's Breakdown, brought to you by Armstrong Business Solution. Penguins and Senators tonight, the debut of Nick Bukestad and Jared McCann in Penguin sweaters. So can these guys fit into the speed game, Bob? When the Penguins won Stanley Cups, speed was the name of the game for them. Some feel like the speed has fallen off, they're not as quick, or the gap isn't the same as it once was. Do you look at Bukestad and, to a lesser extent, McCann as guys that can help them play that way and win?
Yeah, I think so. No, I do. I mean, you know, Bukestad's been one of those guys that at 6'6", you never really look like you're flying, unless you're maybe you know, Alex Tuck on Vegas. Some of those big guys, they, you know, like a Patrick Laine, he barely looks like he's even moving on the ice at sometimes, but they can get up and down the ice with one stride to my two. So, you know, I think they can get up the ice. McCann can skate. He's going to have no issues, and Bukestad as well. So I'm not concerned with that. I think Bukestad gives the Penguins that other option, being a right-handed shot centerman that could take some of those draws. We haven't had that in a while here. That's fell off since Carter Rowney left, and you know, just having that ability to win that big face-off when you're putting two guys out there in a certain situation in that face-off zone in your own end. You know, he's been able to get his face-off numbers over 50%, and that's something you want, a big guy like that that can get leverage on a face-off, that can win those big draws there when you need it. And McCann, he's, you know, like I said, he's a mucker and grinder, and a guy that learned that he doesn't want to play in the minors. So he's had a great year this year. I think it bodes well. And you know, I think a guy like Riley Sheahan, who played pretty well here over the last few weeks for the Penguins, I think his play allowed the Penguins and Jimmy Rutherford a chance to make this trade, to be quite honest with you, because he's been playing his best hockey as a Penguin.
Bibbs, what has gotten, because this trade is something that's going to generate buzz, and people are excited to just kind of see a resolution, I think, to the Broussard angle. But none of it matters unless Evgeny Malkin kind of gets going the way people are accustomed to seeing him play. He's been a real bad minus player. I think we all know that. What have you seen or not seen from him this year that can explain some of his woes?
Well, I think, as we talked about, you know, everybody on his line has got to be engaged, and they really have to. I mean, he had a great start, Malkin. Sometimes things come easy for you. Maybe they did for he and Kessel. You know, but it's a grind now, and it's a grind for points every game. And, you know, you watch the games. Every game's a overtime or one goal game now. That's just the way it is in the NHL. You can't afford to play half a hockey game and intend to win. You know, for Malkin, he would point himself, the finger at himself and say that he hasn't had it all the time. I don't think his wingers have had it all the time. There has been some in and out there with his wingers all season long, but I think he's working hard the last few games, sometimes too hard. I don't know, it seems hard to say. Like, how do you work too hard? Well, you shouldn't be carrying the puck 80% of the time. You should be using your wingers, making the little give and goes, dumping the puck in there, going and banging some bodies. I mean, he's a pretty easy target. If I see him winding up, it's pretty easy to shut him down if I know he's going to try to carry the puck 180, 200 feet, guys. So he's got to move the puck a little bit more, get the puck deep, and allow the puck to do the work instead of him trying to do the work with the puck on a stick all the time. But, you know, I see things coming. Looks like he's skating a little bit better, and hopefully the points will come and his confidence will come back, because he's still putting up some points, but, you know, rightfully so. His minus numbers are not good, but there's a lot of time to change that.
Bob, what else does this team need? They thinned out their blue line a little bit. They're going to get Schultz back. They jettisoned Oleksiak. As Chris pointed out, the Brassard situation now has been resolved. Between now and the trade deadline on February 25th, if there's one other thing you feel Jim Rutherford could do, what would it be? What type of deal?
I honestly don't see another deal here for Pittsburgh, unless you're going to get any depth in forwards. You just have to look to the minors for that and find out who your best guys are. You know, we had a guy, a kid up the other day, and some of all these guys, like Teddy Bluger, they're looking to play. And he may not get the opportunity to play tonight again, guys, because you make these moves that these guys get into town. You know, he'll be on the outs. So he's an option. I think what you've got younger here, picking up a 26-year-old in Bukestad, a 22-year-old in McCann. That's what you wanted. So to start the season, the Penguins were a little old and a little slow, and you want to get faster and you want to get a little more energy, desire, all those kind of things in your lineup that the Penguins really needed here. And they got some of these things as things have gone on. And I think, you know, Jimmy Rutherford doesn't typically like to make a deal right at the deadline. He likes to make it like he did right now, so these players have time to get acclimated before the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's what they've done. And Schultz coming back in, that's the best trade you can have right there.
Rutherford said, I think it was yesterday, if my memory serves me right, that he felt like his team had thrown away 5 to 7 games with just basically the effort and the focus level not being where it needed to be. One, do you take that as more of a message to the coach or the players? And two, on those cup teams you were on in the early 90s, did that ever become an issue where you got the sense that guys in the room, the focus would dip based on who the opponent was?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our second Stanley Cup run, you know, we were basically, didn't look like we might not make the playoffs at one point there right after Christmas. I mean, we were on the outs looking in. Our team looked terrible. We weren't putting in the work. We were living off the Stanley Cup of 91 and just weren't putting in the work. So we went back to the basics, a couple of deals there, and you bring in Rick Tocchet, and, you know, you just you get things going, and you realize that you're a better hockey team. Back then, when I played, it was a lot different. You go in and play, you know, a last-place team, and Mary would rack up 6 points. It doesn't happen that way now. We're playing last-place team tonight. I can't imagine we're going to beat them 10-1 like we beat the Sharks back in, you know, 1992. So the league is just a lot tougher. You can't afford to not be up to be sharp to start these games. As Mike Sullivan says, you can win or lose games even before the pucks drop. So you got to be prepared physically and mentally to play in these hockey games. This will be another one tonight. Ottawa's not going to roll over, so you better make your breaks, get yourself on the power play by playing in the offensive zone, and take care of your defensive responsibilities. And, you know, I think this trade will get everybody's attention. Everybody should be fired up here tonight. And, you know, the other team will be fired up too. Ottawa will certainly be fired up. Everybody loves to bring down the big dog, and the Penguins, you know, they're the big dog in the game tonight, certainly.
Who's the better team, Bob, Toronto or Tampa Bay?
I think Tampa Bay is a better team, but, you know, they've had some haunted past a little bit in the playoffs, much like the Capitals did. You know, I do think they're the better team. We didn't see them at their best. It was their first game back after the break, after the All-Star break and everything there, guys, and their bye week. So we didn't see them at their best, although at times they still look dangerous. I mean, Tampa, I give the nod to. The Leafs are right there. They made a great trade in getting Jake Muzzin. He's a guy that everybody wanted. The Leafs went in there. They made the big deal there to get Muzzin, and that's going to make them even stronger.
Bob, we'll watch it tonight. Handle that space, that Pierre Maguire space. That was
I call it the Bob Airy space.
Better than he does. Better than he does, I can assure you.
Bob, we'll talk to you again next Friday. We'll see you, man.
Thanks for the time, guys. Take care.
Bob Airy, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Bottle Shop and Armstrong Business Solutions.
Whew. Unexpected heat at the end there. I was going to tee it up and say it's the Bob Airy space. He didn't need me to do
a
that.
Shot across the Pierre Maguire bow.
That was an unassisted goal right there. He had a mind to shoot the second he got the puck.
If Airy came on the air tonight and said, "We got the Senators to my left and the Penguins to my right," would be an unreal troll job.
There is a chance he's I know he listens. So there's a chance he's hearing us say this right now and he's going
to
do this.
And the Senators to my right.
They're not paying me to be a fan tonight. They're paying me to be an analyst.
I got my press pass and I'm ready to go. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly to 412-928-9370. If you're just finding us, Eric Hagman will give you the full details of the Brassard trade. And after that, we will celebrate arguably the greatest day of Chris Mueller's life as a Pittsburgh sports fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.